Hey, it's Azure Friday, and I'm learning all about Windows Azure Queues with Mark Sims. We did some naive stuff on the first intro there. I learned about the basics of having decoupling between a web role and a worker role. Now we're going to get a little bit deeper into async.
Yep, and just clean up some of the silly stuff that we did the first time around.
Okay, and why it was silly. I didn't feel silly.
No,
We've also made our payload a little more complicated. Before it was a string, now it's a person.
Now we don't have to go in and hack up the value manually.
Okay.
So one of the things we did is, all right, whenever we post, we create the storage account, we go through and we get the queue reference.
Right.
That's kind of a problem. We should probably only do that once.
Only create the queue once.
Yeah. Okay. So this code right here belongs essentially in your startup code. Because otherwise, every single time you go to the queue, you're basically going to go to the queue to create it and then to add a message. You've had your throughput.
Sure.
And we've already gone and created it, so we'll just comment this stuff out.
Seems like kind of an initialization lifecycle type of a thing.
Exactly. This is the same stuff. Essentially, this stuff here, all this goop here, this belongs essentially in your app start code, whether you put it in web API config or anywhere in app start.
Okay.
As long as you can just hit it once. But we've already done it, so we're not going to go on. Do the right thing.
Where does it live now?
Right now we just had it here.
Oh, we don't even need it anymore.
We don't need it anymore.
But I see what you're saying. So it should be a startup mechanism.
Exactly. Somewhere in wherever you do the rest of your setup stuff, we can put it in web API.
Do you need anything of that here?
Yes. We still need to grab the storage account. We still need to handle the
storage.
But
what about the queue?
Oh, I deleted too much.
You need more than you think.
Yes, we need to not do this.
So it's the queue creation that you've gotten rid of.
Yes, just that part right there.
Okay.
Because we do that every time, we've basically halved our effective performance.
Makes sense.
And notice in the worker role, we were only doing this once.
Okay.
So we just cleaned that up there. So in general, we want to be able to do a lot of this stuff asynchronously end-to-end. So if I go async end-to-end, I can probably get 5 or 10 times the performance out of the same hardware.
Okay, and by async, we're not making background threads, but rather we're just making the threads that we do have let go when I/O happens.
Yeah, so basically what I want to say is, hey, this is an async function.
Right.
There will be things that can be awaited in here.
Okay.
So all this stuff stays the same, except for we go right here. I'm going to go queue add message async message, and then I'm going to await that.
Okay, so I know that in MVC and in Web API, we've got async for EF and for Entity Framework, any database access, any ADO type access, files and registries. This is all part of that too. It's I/O.
Yeah, Azure Storage as of 2.1 has task-based async with full I/O completion ports, like real async for all calls.
Okay, so throwing stuff in tables, throwing things in blobs, and in queues.
Yeah, everything has an async at the end.
And is there any reason I should not use them?
None whatsoever.
Is marking await and async on all of these kinds of things naive, kind of by definition?
No, this is actually if you want to get more out of your front end, this is the right way to do it.
Okay.
The only thing you have to watch out for is because you've become so much more efficient, you can actually push so much more work through, and you might start to bounce off the limits of your queuing.
Because ultimately, you're really not waiting for anything. You're just like, go, 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 fire and forget, fire and forget.
Easily 5 to 10, sometimes 20 times the performance.
So you should, it's not that you, I used to think that you should only do this when things get to a certain size. Mm-hmm. It's not the case. Even small things, I should do async.
This is so I/O bound, it's such an I/O bound activity.
Mm-hmm.
And because sometimes you can be waiting a little bit of time, like a few milliseconds to 100 milliseconds for a queue message to get in there, you just don't want to tie up that thread.
So no excuse to not do it then.
No, the other thing you can do is this gives you the ability, so there's the default just await. But if you say you wanted to wait a certain period of time, if you wanted to have options, this gives you the options to basically cancel a long-running task and not just have it sit there forever.
Oh, that's a good point. So you could say, wait, but if this takes longer than a second, then we're going to bail.
This is the default wait stuff, but I can do stuff like add message async dot wait.
I see.
It gets the programming surface gets a little more complicated, but the options are there.
Okay, but for what we're doing, we are literally firing and forget.
Exactly. And this really starts to make a difference in terms of just how much you can put through on your producer side. On the consumer side, not so much.
Okay.
So let's just go over to the worker role and just do the same thing. Notice we went and we changed our worker role a little bit so we can deserialize our content. Let's just close this down so we can get our person object back out.
Right.
Because we put it in as JSON and get it back as JSON.
Put it in as a string, pull it out as a string, and then deserialize it.
So now the only difference is I need to make this async. So create if not exists. Let's make that async.
I see. So everything that is on a queue or a table or whatever has an async.
Everything has that now.
Nice.
And we're just going to wait on this guy.
Because we really can't do anything until it does exist.
Exactly.
So of all the async things that we've done, that's the kind of the least amazing, the least useful.
Yeah. Not too useful.
Okay.
So, but here's the problem. Run is not an awaitable. Is not an awaitable thing.
So doesn't run just happen once, and then I just sit in a while loop the rest of my time?
But in order to be something to be awaitable, I need to get out of that loop. Mm. So what I need to do is I actually need to spawn off another task that basically implements an awaitable function.
Okay.
So let's go and do that. This is basically the only part where things get a little interesting. So protected async void do stuff.
Okay.
Yep. And so basically what we're going to do here.
This is our new runnable our on-run async, as it were.
This is our new on-run. So while true, we'll come back and fix this later, because anything that's running as a task, you should be able to close it down.
Okay.
So we'll come back and add a cancellation token in
all
a
right.
second. So right now this is angry because it's going like, hey, you don't have any awaitables.
Right. You said it's async, but now you're not really waiting around for anything.
Yeah. So we're going to take all this stuff here, and we're just going to drop it down into here. And, of course, we still need all this stuff. Yep. All right, so now we're just basically going to get that message async.
Okay.
And we're going to await it. Here we go.
Okay.
Now async.
Is asString just a property? So there's no async there?
Yep.
And there's async stuff on Java on the JSON, is there, or do we need to worry about that at all?
Unless you're doing I/O, it's not really an issue.
Okay.
So basically, it's always, do my trading work, so I'm not waiting for it, or am I basically pushing work down to the network, so I don't, so it can do its thing and then.
So file access, network access, database access.
If you're not leaving the process, async is really only basically trading between one hand and the other.
Okay.
But if you are leaving the process and you are doing I/O, it's very important.
So what's the value, though, of making do stuff right now? You're just kind of doing a little refactoring here, but where does the performance added?
For this one, not so much. But imagine if I had multiple of these loops acting concurrently. I'm not holding down this task. I'm not holding down this thread. I'm not holding down this CPU while I'm going and getting my messages.
Okay, so if I can paraphrase and understand, then right now I'm thinking one task, one while loop, one worker role. Mm-hmm. But in reality, there might be 20, 30, 100 different things going on.
And right now, we're just processing messages one at a time. If I'm processing lots and lots and lots of running background tasks, then I'm going to want to be kind to my threads.
I see. I'm starting to realize that you're right. You could start doing a lot. This is going to just tighten everything up, and the work gets very much consolidated.
And it's just, how do we be efficient from the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
So task factory start new. It's an async task. So then we're basically, async. Oh. I always forget the syntax. Task creation options, long running. So we basically said, I want to start up a task that is itself asynchronous.
So what's he angry about?
Nothing here is awaitable.
All right. So every time you say async around a function, in this case, an anonymous function, it's going to say, hey, why'd you say that?
Yep.
If you didn't really mean it.
Yep. And this is angry because, hey, that's not a task. So this actually just
right. You're awaiting something void.
Yeah. So that just needs to be a task. And there. And I've said this is going to run for a long time. So I just want to tell the task factory this thing can just kind of hang out.
And then it'll optimize things knowing that little hint that you've given it.
Yeah, I'm not going to give this thread back anytime soon.
Okay.
So it just makes it more efficient for scheduling. And then this can continue to sleep.
Okay, so let's scroll back up a little bit and just get a sense of what's going on here.
Yep.
So we go ahead and we get a hold of our queue. We create it if it's not not exist. We wait because we really can't do anything unless our queue is set up. And then we go and we fire up a background thread.
Mm-hmm.
Which is separate and unrelated, arguably, to the async and await, which is really focused on I/O issues.
Yep.
So then do stuff is going to sit around forever.
Yep.
And I could have multiple background threads pulling on multiple queues doing different things.
Yeah. And if you have it this way, you're not burning a CPU while you're waiting for.
Very cool.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's good information.
And there's your async.
And that's Azure Friday.